We're continuing this morning in the book of Mark. So we're going to turn to Mark chapter 4. And your black Bible's there. It's on page 839. And we're going to stand, if you would, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's word. So Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." Please be seated. So the setting here is the Sea of Galilee. There is a big crowd following Jesus. Not everyone in the crowd could be called true followers of Jesus. Some were just curious. Ben, a couple weeks ago, referenced Jesus as a rock star. Some are there for the show. You know, what is this guy going to do next? Some are there with bad intentions for Jesus. Others are there to be healed of their sickness. We know that the crowd was big enough that Jesus needed to get on a boat and continue his preaching offshore, using the boat as a pulpit. And in verse 2, we read that Jesus is teaching the crowd many things in parables. What is a parable? A simple definition is that it's a story. A parable is a story with a deeper meaning. A common definition is that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In the recorded teachings of Jesus, he almost always uses parables. In fact, we read in verse 34, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Stories, allegories, metaphors, these are super effective ways to communicate. It's really how we best receive teaching. So this is how Jesus teaches. He uses parables. And Jesus says, "Listen." He's saying, "Pay attention. Don't just hear the sound of my voice, but take these words to heart. I have the unique ability to be looking you right in the eye and not hearing a word that you're saying. My family is very well acquainted with this ability. They're often saying, 'Dad, Jim, are you listening?'" They don't want to have to repeat themselves. They want to know that I'm not just hearing the sound of their voice, but I'm listening. Jesus is saying here, pay attention. What I'm about to teach you is important. And then he moves in verses 3 through 9 into the story, into the parable. So the sower, the farmer, is sowing seed. The picture is the sower is scattering seed on a plot of ground. Some of the ground is hard, some is rocky, some is thorny, and other of the soil is good and receptive. The sower is throwing seed on all of the ground. We're not going to go deep into the farmer's technique here, but suffice it to say that the farmer is scattering the seed over ground that is receptive and unreceptive alike. Some of the seed falls on hard ground. The ground is a path, so it's likely hardened by people walking on it. This ground is like concrete. The seed just sits on top of the ground, and then the birds immediately come in and devour it. The seed does not penetrate the soil at all. Then there's the seed that falls in the stony ground. This is ground that is a little more receptive to the seed. The soil at least receives the seed into it, but it's rocky and it's shallow, so it doesn't go deep. The seed sprouts up quickly. The word used is immediately, but when the sun comes, it scorches the little plant, the young plant, and it withers and it dies. The third soil falls into thorny ground. The soil is deeper than the rocky soil, and the seed sprouts up, but there are weeds and thorns in the ground that grow up alongside and hog the nutrients and choke out the sprout so that it does not bear fruit. And then the fourth soil falls into good soil, the soil that is deep, rich in nutrients and not among weeds. And this soil produces fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Now, with the exception of the fourth yield of the soil, this is a very ordinary, mundane illustration Jesus is using with the crowd that would have been intimately acquainted with farming techniques and farming details. This is an agrarian society. So I say with that, with the exception of the fourth soil, because from all that I can gather, a good harvest was a tenfold harvest. And so this idea of a 30 or a 60 or a hundredfold would have been a surprising detail, maybe even inconceivable, which is in many ways the Jesus' parables. He uses mundane, everyday illustrations, but often with a twist or a surprise. And that surprise, that twist here is that fourth soil. And then in verse 9, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So this brings us to a pivotal shift in this passage. In verse 10, the focus moves from Jesus addressing the crowd to a more intimate setting, his followers, the disciples, and those with them. So Jesus delivers the parable to the crowd without explanation, but then he gets alone with his followers, and they ask him, what are these parables all about? What's this parable all about? And the first thing to notice is how Jesus responds with you and them language. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom, but for those outside, everything is in parables. To you, the you and the in, are the insiders, and the those are the outsiders. This language may feel uncomfortable for us. It challenges our modern ideas of inclusion. However, it underscores a spiritual reality. Our response to Jesus determines whether we are inside or outside. And then Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah, and his words are even harder to swallow. Jesus says he speaks to them in parables so that, in other words, the reason I speak in parables to them is, quoting from Isaiah 6, they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. I thought the whole purpose of sharing the gospel was that people would hear and understand and turn and be forgiven. You know, there's a difference between so that and in order to. Jesus' teaching in parables, and the effect is some are deaf, or the intent of the parables is to harden the hearer. And I'm not going to go too deep into that, unpacking that, but it is true that some heard the parables and rejected Jesus, even to the point of crucifying him, which was necessary, his death, in order for him to be fully revealed. If there's no crucifixion, There is no resurrection and there's no gospel. So some important points. The insiders are given the secrets of the kingdom. They do not understand, using their own understanding, the mysteries of the kingdom. The mysteries are revealed to them. The revelation is wholly a work of God. The insiders have not taken in all the facts and considered them and solved the mystery like they're Sherlock Holmes. The insiders were deaf, could not hear. And Jesus opens their ears and gives them hearing. The insiders are hearers. They listen to Jesus when he speaks. The outsiders, on the other hand, hear the words that Jesus is speaking, but because they do not have ears to hear, the parable remains a mystery. They do not understand the deeper meaning of the parables, or if they do understand the message, they outright reject it. The clear difference between the insiders and the outsiders is the insiders pursue Jesus for answers. Jesus' teaching has stirred them and they're coming to him to learn more. The insider gathers around Jesus, but the outsider is either indifferent, confused, or hostile to the teaching, and they do not draw near to him. This paints a different picture of Jesus than Jesus keeping people on the outside. The outsiders, whether due to indifference, frustration, lack of curiosity, remain on the outside by their choice. Matthew Harmon, in an article on parables, wrote, "The parables are more like thermometers than thermostats. They reveal a person's spiritual condition more than they determine it." And then he goes on to say, "Simply put, Jesus teaches in parables to demonstrate the need for divine revelation to understand the mysteries of the kingdom and to reveal the spiritual condition of his listeners. Both of these realities are grounded in his understanding of Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. And then Cranfield explains, "The mystery is the identity of Jesus." And here I quote, "It is the secret that the kingdom of God has come in the person and words and works of Jesus. That is a secret because God has chosen to reveal himself indirectly and in a veiled way. The incarnate word is not obvious. Only faith could recognize the Son of God in the lowly figure of Jesus of Nazareth. The secret of the kingdom of God is the secret of the person of Jesus." So if you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. If you're a Christian, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that on the third day he was raised to life. You believe that only because it has been revealed to you. If somebody asks you why you are a Christian, why you'll spend an eternity in heaven with him when you die, and your explanation begins with "I." You know, "I attended church every Sunday. I tithed my paycheck and gave to missionaries. I. You're missing it. The answer to the question needs to begin with "he," because he, Jesus, showed me mercy, because he drew himself to me to himself, because he healed me, opened my ears, and gave me eyes to see. And if you're not a Christian this morning, maybe you identify with being an outsider, but you desire to be on the inside with Jesus, he is freely available to you. Romans 10:13 says, "If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved." Jesus offers you forgiveness, not because you deserve it, not because you're a really good person who occasionally does bad things, but you try real hard. No, you need to recognize that you cannot save yourself. You need Jesus to save you, to wash you clean. Your only hope, my only hope in this hopeless and messed up world is Jesus. My only hope is my proximity to Jesus, that I am with Jesus and he is with me. I am a friend of Jesus. A parable cannot be understood apart from the one who tells it. So we're going to turn back to the text here to hear Jesus explain the parable he has just told. So verse 14, "The sower sows the word." The seed is the word. It's the word of God. It's the good news of the gospel. That is the seed. And then verse 15, "The seed that fell on the hard ground, on the packed down path, the word is preached, and immediately Satan comes and snatches the word away. This is a hard heart, a heart that has no interest in Jesus or his words. This certainly describes many people in our world, and maybe your heart this morning. Verse 16 and 17, Jesus explains the rocky soil. So I grew up going to a Baptist camp, and one year I had a friend who decided he was going to join me at youth camp. He didn't have a church background. I think his family, they were Buddhists. And like any Christian camp worth its salt, the week concluded with a bonfire out in the woods. And at this bonfire, we would sing songs and give testimony. Campers and counselors would get up and give testimony. Well, my friend stood up at the fire, and I couldn't believe it. He had tears in his eyes, and he was talking about Jesus and what this week had meant to him. He got up, I think, three separate times. So many times he started to lose his voice by the end. And then we moved to what we called the burning bridge. And this was, if anybody had made a decision for Jesus that week, they would walk across this bridge. And my friend walked across that bridge. And then you would watch as they burned the bridge and would fall into the creek, very dramatic. And as you're saying, I've decided to follow Jesus, you'd walk back on a different path. I couldn't believe it. My friend had become a Christian. It was amazing. And then we went back home, and it was like nothing had happened. He had received the message of the gospel with great emotion, but quickly, almost immediately, when the emotion faded, so did his faith. The decision was only an emotional decision. There was no depth. There was no fruit. And then verses 18 and 19, we go into the thorny soil. And as we consider the state of our own hearts, the condition of our own soil, it's this soil that you and I may be most in danger of falling into. Hearing is referenced a number of times in this passage. What we allow our ears to hear very much influences the state of the soil of our hearts. Think about your daily routines. How much time do you spend scrolling on your phone or watching TV or worrying about things that are out of your control? These are things that can choke out God's voice in your life. How easily we can slip into the philosophy that I deserve this or I deserve that. It's sweet sounding. You know, who doesn't want to be comfortable? Who doesn't want to be free of money trouble and have time to relax and to be free? It's so appropriate, the description, the deceitfulness of riches. I mean, it's lies. The promise that attaining wealth will fill the longing in your soul. That's a lie. The children of Israel were warned about this in Deuteronomy. I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God, not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go to other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is serious business. Over 20 years ago, the United States started to bring in a group of Sudanese refugees. A group mainly of boys that they came to be known as the Lost Boys of Sudan. And some of these boys ended up here in the Philadelphia region. And I got introduced to some of these boys and spent a good deal of time with them. These boys had experienced horrific things. Rebels had come into their town or village, and they just had to flee. Some of these boys were as young as 6, 7, 8 years old. They just had to run. It's estimated there was approximately 20,000 of these refugees that walked from southern Sudan through a 1,000 miles of dangerous desert to Ethiopia. And eventually they ended up in a refugee camp in Kenya. And they experienced horrible things. They would tell some story. They didn't talk about it very much, but they would tell stories from time to time. They had to flee with little to eat or drink. Some didn't have shoes. They were little clothing. At times they were swimming through crocodile-infested water. And as I spent time with these boys over many months, I started to see the effect, the influence of American culture on these boys. It was started in the way they were dressing, and then music they were listening to, and then eventually even the way that they would talk. And one day I had a serious talk with them, and I said, you know, they had survived so many dangers in Africa, and they had escaped these dangers to their bodies, even to their lives, and now I was worried that they were endangering their souls. And we discussed the words of Jesus from Matthew 10, where Jesus says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And also chapter 16, when Jesus says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Are the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, crowding out the voice of God in your life?" In verse 20, Jesus explains the good soil. The good soil hears the word, accepts it, and bears fruit. Matthew in his gospel writes, "This is the one who hears the word and understands it." And then Luke in his gospel writes, "They are the ones who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart." Again, we return to this theme of hearing. A big takeaway from this morning is, what are you listening to? Do you have ears to hear? Are you distracted, or are you taking the time to consider the word of God, the words of Jesus? Throughout the whole Bible, we see this theme of hearing. The prophets of the Old Testament and the psalmist often say, "Hear, listen." The book of Proverbs, "Listen, my son." It's in Isaiah, as we read. It's in the words of Jesus, and then all the way to the book of Revelation, first three verses here. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." This hearing is active. It's not passive. Listening, really listening, listening with the goal of understanding, that's a discipline. We need to be actively listening. It's super easy in our modern world to go through life without taking the time to listen. There are many voices that are vying for our ears. There are so many distractions. Is the voice of Jesus just one of many voices? Is the noise of the pleasures of this world, the lies of riches, worry, drowning out the voice of Jesus? If you want to hear the voice of Jesus, if you desire to have his voice, the loudest and clearest voice in your life, pray. Get alone. Get quiet before God and tell him you desire to hear his voice. Pray that the soil of your heart would be receptive to the seed of his word, and then endeavor to read and listen to his word. If daily reading and meditating on God's word isn't a part of your routine, commit to starting today. Make a commitment. Make a commitment this week to wake up 15 minutes early. And don't go to your phone or social media or your computer. Open and read the scriptures. And let me recommend Isaiah 55 to you as a great passage of scripture to meditate on, to pray through. And I'm going to conclude with these words from the prophet Isaiah. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word. Forgive us when we neglect your word, when we neglect this wonderful, wonderful thing you've given us in your word. I pray, Lord, that we would be listening intently for your voice, that we would clear out the distractions, listen to the voice of Jesus in our lives. Lord, we want to give you all the glory and all the praise for your good and gracious and kind. In your name I pray. Amen.